B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mez.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mez.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour number two, Felger and Mez. Working through our issues here. Here's the next one. I think some people have lost their effing mind when it comes to the Patriots and the quarterback thing. Like, and so here's the latest. Mel Kiper has him trading up to number 10 to take Justin Fields. Okay, so that's trade up into the top 10 to take a quarterback who's not ready. Then there's guys who I love and respect, and I just, you know, I'm not dumping on them. But, you know, Tom Curran and Burt Breer have both written and said in the last 24, 36 hours that the Patriots could be waiting for Aaron Rodgers to, you know, get free from Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers could be on the block next year, and he's a fit here, and the Patriots are just waiting for this all to shake out, and Aaron Rodgers could be in their future. This is a realistic possibility. I feel like saying, have you lost your effing mind? Like, all of you? And I hope I'm wrong about this. But what indication do you have that, one, stick with Fields, Bill Belichick is willing to give up future first-round picks or future assets to trade up for a 22-year-old raw quarterback who probably won't be ready in year one and is not said to have an NFL skill set, and, oh, by the way, is just a rookie on top of it, and Bill generally doesn't play rookies. Never mind at that position. So we now think not only would he take a player like that, he's going to give up a future first or second round pick or extra first and second round picks to move up and take a player like that? Like, does that sound to you like Bill Belichick?
No.
That he's going to be so beholden to some 22-year-old kid?
No.
I mean, that feels so antithetical to what Bill Belichick, and again, I hope I'm wrong. Like, if he traded up for a quarterback, I'd be like, that's, thank you.
Maybe one of the most stunning things he'd ever do.
But, you know, to trade up for that kid, what you're doing is you're saying, we need you. We are giving up extra assets to get you, and we are putting all of our chips into the middle of the table on you, 22-year-old kid. Does that sound to you like Bill Belichick?
No.
No.
Now, can I see Bill Belichick somewhere in the second round where someone falls to him at a cheap contract and everyone knows it's a developmental guy and now that quarterback needs Bill and Bill's not beholden to him? That I see. Or the end of the first? Maybe. I see that. Do I see him trading up and pushing all of his chips into the middle of the table for a 22-year-old kid? No effing way. Do I see him on Aaron Rodgers? Now, you're still going to have to trade for Aaron Rodgers, okay? He becomes tradable next year, and I think he will be available next year. But he's still under contract by the Packers. It's going to be a trade. So you're now going to have to give up high draft picks for Aaron Rodgers at 38, 39 years old. Aaron Rodgers, unlike your previous quarterback, until the very end, wants to get paid. This is a $30 million a year player. And, I will add, subsequently, may not totally love football. I think Aaron Rodgers is just as interested in the effing game show as he is NFL football. Does that sound to you like Bill Belichick's kind of guy?
No.
No.
Who, oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is a bigger diva than Tom Brady ever dreamed of becoming at the end. And Brady got a little diva-ish at the end. Ish. Rodgers is the genuine article diva. Thinks he's bigger than the team. So now Bill's either going to put all of his chips into the middle of the table, devote extra resources to a 22-year-old kid who's not ready, or take those chips and put them into the middle of the table for a 39-year-old guy who wants to get paid at the top of the market, doesn't totally love football, has other interests, and is a pain in the ass on top of it all. Do we think he's doing any of these things?
No, but if you were to ask me, I'd say the chances of Fields going from 15 to 10 are way higher, way better than Aaron Rodgers. I give Aaron Rodgers almost 0% chance of happening.
And why?
Because of the money.
Thank you.
They're not going to pay Aaron Rodgers, you know, $40 million a year, whatever the number is going to be. There's no shot. No chance.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong about this. You replay the tape, you know? Fine, you know, but... Because I would love to see Aaron Rodgers here. That would be a fun story to watch Bill Belichick coach Aaron Rodgers. See if Bill can get him that last little bit over the top, because Rodgers obviously can't do it on his own. So you put those two together. That would be fun. I would love to be wrong about this. I think there's no shot. What part of Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the on-the-field stuff, you know, yes. But what off the field works between Aaron Rodgers and Bill Belichick?
It doesn't. You know, and as you say it, I the reason I'm chuckling over here, too, is because I sit there and say, wait a minute, I thought the plan was to wait for Garoppolo to shake free next spring. Like, so when, because Garoppolo is going to be cost zero next year. So what do you think, Bill? Let's just play it out. Let's say they're both available. You can trade for Rodgers or sign Garoppolo for nothing. What do you think they'll do?
Oh, you could say anyone for nothing. They're going to sign that person for nothing. Yeah, it doesn't have to be Garoppolo. It could be Bugs Bunny. You know, if he's got a better contract, that's the guy that's coming here at that position. So it's like, I and so here's my fear, is that it's reflective of where the team is at the position. They still have no plan. They're still just casting around. We'll wait for Aaron Rodgers to shake free. Like, that's, there's no shot. Aaron Rodgers wants to get paid. Aaron Rodgers wants to do a game show. He says, well, how does that fit with Bill Belichick's, you know, on the field? Bill loves him, obviously. A lot of people do. He's an excellent player off the field. Thinks he's bigger than the team, wants to get paid, and doesn't totally love football anymore or loves the game show just as much. That, to me, does not feel like Bill Belichick's kind of guy. Never mind some 22-year-old kid from Ohio State who doesn't even play the position the way Bill envisions it at the pro level, I think. And it's going to cost you to trade up to go get him. And now you're going to be beholden to some kid? God, no way. So, like, I don't think any of these things are realistic, unfortunately. I'd take all of them. Like, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think any of them are realistic.
And especially the Rodgers one, too. That one just feels like a pipe dream because of the money. And that's the other thing. I know he's loved him from afar, and rightfully so. Remember
he's
when he
so
was here?
So good.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. But... yeah. He comes here with that dude's attitude. It would be Brady times 10. He wouldn't want to deal with that.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I think it's a nightmare marriage, those two. And look, it would work probably in the short term. But that's the other thing, too, is like, how old's Rodgers now? He's like 37.
He's old. Yeah, I think Zoe mentioned today, I think he's 38.
Okay, so he's getting up there, too. Like, and not to be I'm not telling you I don't want Aaron Rodgers, but I also want a long-term solution. Part of the situation with the Patriots, not part of.
He's 37.
Okay, the biggest thing that frustrates me with where the Patriots are is they don't have some sort of long-term answer. So what are we, again, are we going to do this every spring? Every spring now, is it going to be, who are they going to draft? When are they going to draft him? Who are they going to sign on the market? Is this going to go on every offseason?
Well, it's too straight. It's now too straight. Are they going to draft the guy? Who are they going to trade up for? Are they going to trade up? Who's there at the draft? Well, what veteran's going to shake free? This guy's going to shake free. That guy's not going to shake free. That guy's too much, two straight years of it. So you tell me, do they have a target?
Doesn't feel like it.
No.
And
no.
Least last year, just quick. So last year, at least with Cam Newton, it was like, well, we'll see. You know, he's had these surgeries and we'll see what the upside is. You know, the guy's a former MVP. Now that we know that Cam Newton and what he is, if he gets hurt in week one like Tom Brady did in 2008, What's the plan? Stidham? Some quarterback you take day three in the draft that's not ready to go? Going into this season with Cam Newton, now that you know what he is as the starter, is negligent from a management perspective. I don't think that's debatable.
No, where they are is negligent. Just sort of waiting for something to shake out of the tree? You know, it'll be Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, he'll be free. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, Garoppolo could be released next year, so they'll get him on a real good contract next year.
They don't want to pay.
Deshaun Watson, you know, now he's a distressed athlete. We're all just sort of throwing crap against the wall.
Because that's what they're doing.
Because I think that's what they're doing.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, that's what they're doing. And look, let's just look at it, rewind a year. If they had paid Teddy Bridgewater the $20 million a year or whatever the hell the number ended up being, wouldn't they be better off right now?
Yep.
So they might not be. Let's just say they had effectively the same season. They went 7-9, but then they went out and signed all these players.
Oh, not that you care, but I think they would have been 9-7.
Okay, so I think so too. But yeah. Let's just say hypothetically that it was the same.
Yep.
Okay, but now they go out and get the weapons. Don't you at least look at it and say, Well, I mean, yes. He can throw better than Cam Newton can throw.
Yep.
So there's a chance that they'll win 11 games and go 11-6. And they want to draft a guy in the second round. Well, now there's actually a little plan in place. Right now, there's no plan. There's still no plan.
I just think it's preposterous. And it feels preposterous to me that Bill Belichick would be prepared to trade up and put all of his chips and all of his hopes on some kid. Like, it's just, that does not sound right to me. The fun thing will be if Fields drops to 15, and now Bill doesn't have to trade up. He's just sitting there. He just fell into your lap. And now you can talk yourself into, well, there's value here because this is a top five player who dropped to 15 for whatever reason, and we're going to be the smart ones that realize this is a, you know, that I can sort of see. But even there, like I said yesterday, I think I think Bill is probably dreading that. Like, I don't want to draft his kid. And because I sure as hell don't want to play him. I'm not going to play him as a rookie. He's not ready. And those top 10 or those top 15 quarterbacks, it's still money I got to pay him. But I got to take this guy but either way, I just, the trade up for the quarterback to me just feels so not like Bill. It feels so antithetical to everything that he stands for. And the only thing more unrealistic to me feels like Aaron Rodgers, because that's even more money for, again, somebody who doesn't totally love the game and is a diva. You didn't want Tom Brady and his sort of high maintenance qualities, which really in hindsight weren't that bad. They were just bad by Brady's standards compared to this guy who thinks he's got all the answers, Bill, who thinks he's got all the answers. So never mind from Bill's perspective. You think Aaron Rodgers would put up with Bill mumbling at him every other day and giving him the cold shoulder in the hallway? Like how long would that last on Aaron Rodgers' standpoint?
I told you the thing would last a year, maybe, max.
So I just think we're casting about because they're casting about, and that's really the story. There's no target. There's no plan. They're waiting to see what shakes out of the tree.
They're flying by the seat of their pants on this one.
The most important position.
It's stunning, Murray. It is stunning, Murray. Really, especially when you're talking about the level of decision makers we're talking about. Right, Belichick's not a dope. The Crafts are no dopes. And yet they put themselves in this spot is astonishing.
All right, so back to your phones on this and everything else. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why do you see Bill Belichick moving up here to take Fields?
I think the pressure to get that quarterback, Greeny. You're in a division with Josh Allen and Tua and Zach Wilson. Now you have to go get somebody like Justin Fields, who I think is the second best quarterback in this draft. Some agree, some strongly disagree. Some think he's the fifth, sixth best quarterback in this draft, if you can believe that. But I think when you look at the mixed opinion, could allow him to slide down. When we know the top three are locked in, then it becomes Trey Lance or Justin Fields for the fourth spot. If it is in fact Trey Lance, and that's kind of consensus I heard when I made the calls over the weekend, Greeny, then Justin Fields is available. Now, does Denver, what happens with the Washington football team, what happens with Chicago? There are other teams that could make that move, but I think New England, to me, is front and center. Whether they want to stay at 15, they could, but then who's going to be their quarterback, you know, down the road? Think about next year's quarterback. So you're going to have the number one pick in 2023 to get the guy? Maybe not. Probably not. So I think when you look at New England, if Justin Fields does slide, the opportunity then presents itself for teams like New England, Greeny, to move up and get him.
Mel Kiper explaining it. I just don't see it. And I hear that rationale all the time, too. Like, well, look at the teams in their division. Look at the quarterbacks in their division. They got to keep up with Buffalo. You think Bill, in his heart of hearts, is scared of Buffalo and the Jets and these teams?
No.
I also don't think that's how he does business in general. I don't think he ever looks at the landscape and says, well, that team has a quarterback. I have to get one.
Oh, my God. I've got to reach that. Oh, I got to go get my guy. That's not how he thinks.
No. Now, look, if you were to tell me that, he looks at the schedule and says, well, we're going to face a bunch of good quarterbacks this year, so I got to make sure that we can defend the pass. Like, fine. Like, I think there's some year-to-year tweaking that he probably makes to the roster because he knows what kind of opponents he's going to face. But does he look at a team in the division and say, you know, I'm scared of what they have? No.
I actually think he thinks Josh Allen sucks. He told the ESPN crew that. Remember the Lewis Riddick stuff?
The Monday night game, yeah.
I think he looks at Josh Allen and says, we can beat this guy. The last thing Bill thinks is, oh, my God, I got to go get my guy because I got to keep up with the Jets or the Bills. And we think that way. That actually might be the right way to think. But he doesn't think that way.
No, definitely not.
It sucks. We'll get him. Yeah, he doesn't. People got themselves all twisted up in a pretzel. Like, sort of projecting these things on the Patriots that is just not the way Bill's thinking. And I'm telling you, I think Bill's wrong. But I don't think they have not been humbled enough yet.
Or he has in any way.
He has not been humbled to the point, Maz, where he's going to reach for a quarterback and prostrate himself for some 22-year-old kid in the draft or for some 38, 39-year-old mega star diva who makes $30 million a year. Bill has not been humbled to the point where he's got to subjugate himself to a quarterback that he's beholden to. Nope. Bill thinks he can win his way with whatever guy shakes out of the tree. And I think he's wrong. But I don't think he's been sufficiently humbled yet. I don't.
Oh, he hasn't. Look at how he's handled the position in general. If he had been humbled, he would have acted already. He'd have given up something more substantial for Garoppolo or offered it. They would have made the deal or he'd have gone out and made a trade for a different quarterback.
Plenty of good options. Second round pick that becomes a first if Carson Wentz plays a certain amount of games. Perfectly fine deal. Wentz's money isn't even that bad. Perfectly fine deal. And you needed a quarterback. Maybe worse than Indianapolis. You were nowhere near that thing. But you're just going to wait to see what shakes out of the tree, and you for sure are not going to put yourself underneath some quarterback, especially not some 22-year-old kid. Never mind some 39-year-old guy who makes $30 million who really just wants to be a game show host. He ain't doing either of those things. Anyway, Tom in Rhode Island, your thoughts?
Hello.
Hi, Tom, you're on.
Okay. Hi, guys.
Hi, Tom.
I've got this draft to me is Bill Belichick's curtain call. Okay. He did a great job in free agency. I'm not discounting that. But he's got to step up to the plate here. They need a quarterback. I agree with Murray. ABC. Okay. Anybody but Cam.
Now flip it to NBC.
Yeah.
It's going to be nobody but Cam.
That's what I've been saying, but I've now gone through the five stages of grief with Cam Newton's return. I'm serious. Like, it was denial after the season. Bill would never do that again. Thank God that's over. Nope. Now it's to anger. You brought him back. The hell are you doing? Then it's bargaining. Nah, it's a stopgap. They're still going to go after Garoppolo. Then it's depression. Why haven't they got Garoppolo after all these free agent signings? What the hell is happening here? Nothing makes sense in Foxborough or this crazy world. And now it's come to acceptance. It's going to be this washed up bum again in week one. And to quote the coach, it is what it is. I've accepted it. It's going to be Cam Newton again.
I mean, I have a tendency at this stage to agree with Murray. Now, the one thing I will allow for is that San Francisco pulls a 180, doesn't want to pay Garoppolo, and now there's a deal. And so something like that could happen. But, look, the draft's in 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks out now, basically. You know, 2 weeks from Thursday is the first round. So I suspect we'll hear a little bit of chatter in the days leading up to the draft. But, you know, in 3 Mondays from now, we should have a pretty good idea who's going to be quarterback.
Well, our own Scott Zolak just tweeted, at Albert Breer, Fields is in play. So maybe he knows something.
So Zoe tweeted to Bert.
Yeah.
Fields is in play.
Fields is in play.
What did Bert say?
He was just tweeting about the NFL sending out the memo about COVID-19 vaccinations to all the teams. So this, I think Zoe is listening and also, you know, tweeting at Breer because he's obviously a big fan of Ohio State where Justin Fields played.
Got it.
So maybe he knows something.
Look, like I said, if he drops to 15, that's going to be a heck of a decision. And I can somewhat wrap my head around that, somewhat. The trade-up thing, I can't wrap my head around.
I know, but in and of itself, like, doesn't that drive you bananas? Like, in other words, if Fields falls to them and they would take him at 15, then why wouldn't you give up a third and go get him at 10 and make sure no one else ever gets him?
Well, you know what?
No, right. Again, the cost. Now, look, I do think that if it gets to that stage of the draft, that those teams don't need a quarterback, so there's a chance he'll slide to 15. I get it. But let's just say that, you know, is it really worth taking the risk of losing him to someone else that might grab him for like for throwing a fourth rounder? Is it really worth it just to say that what you paid a little less for him? If you think the kid can play, he can play. And again, I sort of come back to the Emmanuel Sanders thing when he was a restricted free agent with Pittsburgh. They made this half-assed offer on Emmanuel Sanders because they thought Pittsburgh was up against the cap, and then Pittsburgh ended up signing him and keeping him. What, do you want the player or not? Like, you know, so what? You're afraid to pay him $4 million instead of $2.5 million?
They want the contract. They want the value, or, you know, that's still what they want. Sam in Ipswich. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay.
So I was watching the Saban Belichick documentary, The Art of Coaching, a couple days ago. I just put it on. And there's a fascinating part of it where Saban essentially says that, you know, Bill's the only guy who calls him about players, the only one who calls actual college coaches about players. And it's just, you could see Bill's eyes. He went six at midnight in a lot of ways. You could just see his eyes light up. And it's just fascinating looking back at Bill's draft history, the amount of influence that Saban, you know, seems to have on that. Because if you look at Harry in Arizona, you know, he's just relying on college coaches.
Yeah, and I think it's hurt him. I think it's hurt him.
But here's the other thing. Does anyone honestly believe that no other coach calls a college coach to ask about a player?
Yeah, did he really say that?
I mean, if that's, like, anyone who believes that, then you just want to believe what you want to believe. You're telling me no other coach in the NFL knows any other college coach and calls him? I mean, are we really going? That's just Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Sticking his lips on Bill's ass. Seriously, that is not, and you know what? He doesn't even have to, like, you know, bend down to do it because he's 5 foot nothing.
But I'll tell you, Maz, you know, it's I guess portrayed to make Bill look smart and diligent. I think it's hurt him more than it's helped him.
Agreed.
I mean, what did Nick Saban's influence do on Cyrus Jones? Like, how did that help?
No, that worked out well.
How did Urban Meyer's influence help with Aaron Hernandez? You could have given him a little heads up on that one. I mean, it's like the Schiano thing. Like, how many? I don't know. I'm sure it's helped him on some guys, but it feels like it's hurt more than it's helped. We've looked back and said, well, he drafted N'Keal Harry because he's close with the Arizona coach, as the caller sort of mentioned. I feel like we rag on that thing more than we praise it.
Totally. Again, N'Keal Harry. How did that one help him out? You had a million wide receivers in that draft. All Bill had to do was close his eyes, throw a magic marker at a page of a scouting book, and he'd have hit a wide receiver. Instead, he called his buddy at Arizona and ended up with the biggest bum of the draft.
He used to say it's all about the tape. It's all on the tape. It doesn't matter. The combine is nonsense, and this is not. Just look at the tape. It's all on the tape. But when now it's, no, it's what my buddy tells me, who coaches the team. Like, I don't know.
Oh, no, and he's the only guy that's calling the coaches.
Those guys have a stake in it, too. They're either selling their player for a reason or maybe downing their player for a reason. Who knows what's in there? So we'll continue with this. And again, your reaction and the follow-up to the Taylor Hall trade all coming your way after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said. Point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it other than you. We don't. The listeners don't. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I talked to him yesterday on the phone, and obviously I've never coached him. I think the one thing we have that he's missed in other places, no disrespect, is it sort of that winning environment. So I think the message to him is, listen, go out there, do what you do best, but you don't have to carry the Bruins on your back every night. You know, we have guys that that you're going, you're even going to play behind Marshy, so you're not even seeing that top pair D every night. You know, we have good team structure. We, you know, we don't rely on our goaltender to go out and flat out win us games. Yes, he needs to be good like every other team, but so just play, do what you do best, attack with the puck, compete on pucks, and you know, bring your game. So hopefully he, as he goes along here, he recognizes that you know, the game doesn't rely on, the outcome doesn't rely on him whether he's had a great night, you know, or an average night. Just play.
Bruce Cassidy on this morning with Toucher and Rich. We'll catch the full interview, 985thesportshub.com or on the app. It's a good spot as usual. And that is one reason to be optimistic about Taylor Hall here in Boston, as pretty much everywhere else he's been. He's been the franchise guy or a savior kind of guy. Pretty much. I don't know if that was the case last year or this year. What I mean is in Buffalo, because Eichel's the franchise player there. So it's not like it was all on Taylor Hall, and they obviously cratered like you read about. But you generally know what Bruce Cassidy's saying. It's not your team. You don't have to be the guy, and you just really need to be a good secondary player. So just play. That's okay. That's a different spot for Taylor Hall, and hopefully that's a good spot for Taylor Hall. I get it. You know, just the other side is, though, he's never really made it better anywhere he's ever been. Jersey that one year. But for the most part, you know, yes, they were bad franchises and bad teams and bad spots. He didn't make it better. So that's followed him wherever he's been. So let's see what that looks like here now that he's not the guy. Be interesting to see.
Yeah, look, again, man, sometimes you put the guy in the right environment and the right role, and it works a little bit better. So this crossed my mind yesterday, and I just looked it up right now. Why do I want to, like, sort of look at a Nathan Horton as being kind of a, I don't want to say similar thing.
No, it's close.
But Horton was number three in the draft.
Yeah.
His performance kind of faded in Florida, and the whole thing was this guy needs to be in a hockey market. He came here, and it worked. I mean, he had 27 goals or something. And then, you know, there were some issues that made it, you know, he left and, you know, whatever. But he had some injuries, too, is the point.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that's kind of what they're banking on. And if you were to tell me he turns into Nathan Horton, I'd be all right with that.
That's a win. That's a win.
It is. I just, the idea that you're going to get this 40-goal guy, I think that's a fantasy.
I don't know if people feel that way. I feel like the expectations overall are pretty minimal. I mean, he's not coming here to be some sort of franchise savior.
And that's one of the reasons it could work.
Yeah.
You know, I think. It's a different spot for him, for sure.
I think it's a great spot that he's starting in, too, against the team that he was probably miserable on, or at least the latest team he was miserable on.
Never mind they blow.
Right.
Never mind it's the worst team in hockey. So it's a soft landing. And again, you'll hear it here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Back to your phones. Charlie in Fall River. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Maz, I think Rowe in Game 3 ended Horton's career with that hit.
He did.
Remember,
pretty much.
Yeah, he got suspended for the rest of the series. But 24 hours ago, I was thinking the same thing, Matt. Who were they trying to trade to make room for Hall? And my thought was Tuukka Rask, because the money kind of works out. And then I hear that interview on Toucher and Rich this morning. I'm like, you got to play that sound of him defending Tuukka Rask.
Yeah.
He basically said that Game 7 had nothing to do with Tuukka against St. Louis, which is just puke-inducing. And I don't know if you saw DuPont. I don't know if someone asked him what he thought Tuukka Rask's future was, and he said he thinks he's going to sign a 2 or 3 year extension with the Bruins.
Oh, please.
The only way I want that extension is if it's backup money, if he could even sign for $2 million. And then, you know, I don't know if you can go with him and Swayman and use that money to get another forward in here. And maybe, you know, the strength of Don Sweeney is signing existing players to favorable contracts.
Okay. Charlie, just let me stop you. Bruce did defend Tuukka Rask today, but I would like to think that if the rookie's playing better, that he would play the rookie. I mean, it was not just a couple of years ago where Cassidy was really strong on when we've got two goalies who have playoff experience and we've got two guys to rely on. And I thought that sort of put Rask on notice a little bit. I think that was the Stanley Cup year. Was that the year they did go to the finals? I think it was. And I don't know. I'd like to think. Of course, if Rask is playing well, it's Rask over the rookie, just given the experience. Like, duh, I'm not stupid. But if Rask doesn't look great and Swayman does, I'd like to think they'd have the guts to play the rookie if that's what was better for the team. Regardless of what Bruce Cassidy said today. And what is he really going to say about Rask? What's he going to say?
I mean, he's not going to rip the guy. Like, there was zero chance of that. So, but if you're asking me what I think their preference would be, I think their preference would be to get Rask back and playing at a high level.
Of course.
I think that's what they want. And I think that's why they're going to give him every chance. I mean, they just traded for Taylor Hall. So I think their attitude is if we're going to have the most stable group making a run at it, it's with Rask and goal. And apparently, did I hear right that Bergeron and Marchand are like tight with Rask?
Yes.
Like big supporters of Rask?
I think. I don't know. Did Ty Anderson write that or say that? I think so.
So my only question is, like, you know, if you demote Tuca and it's deemed to be unfair, does that cause any sort of stink in your lineup?
Oh, yeah. They'd get over it, though.
I mean,
they would.
If the kid's winning on a nightly basis, I would like to think. You know, I don't have much faith in Rask, but, you know, we'll see if they do. We'll see if there's an option. You know, who knows if Swayman's even an option. Steve in Boston. Hi, Steve.
Hi, guys. Mike, just 2 points on the Bruins. One regarding Till Hall and what he brings to this team on that hasn't been talked about. But I also want to just put the 15 draft to bed at this point. Don Sweeney was hired in May of 2015, and the draft happened 3 weeks later.
I don't care. That's on him. Sorry, no excuse. He blew it.
Yeah, he definitely blew it, but, you know, I mean, maybe they should have had a better plan. But with Till Hall, let me just say that he's an assist guy also, so that bodes well for Krejci. But think about the power play, that the pressure that he takes off of Marchand and Bergeron, who are your two top penalty killers, and now you roll out Krejci and Hall.
Okay, well, you put Hall in front of the net? Because that's the only spot. I mean,
I would put Hall there.
Yeah,
he's big enough to handle himself in there.
Put him in front of there instead of Richie.
Yeah, I would do that. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, look, if he's right, there's speed and power to his game.
So he said yesterday on his call that his MVP year, you had the number, Mass. How many goals were on the power play?
I got it wrong. It was 13, I think. I transposed the numbers.
Oh.
I transposed him. I said initially 24 of the 39 or whatever it was. It was the other way around.
I see.
It was the other way around. All so right. I got that wrong.
Well, anyway, he said the other day on his call that he was the guy on the power play, played on the half wall.
Yep.
I don't think he's doing that here.
I highly doubt it.
I mean, I think that's Marchand on one of them. That's Krejci on another. I mean, I don't know. So go in front of the net, and that's where you'll be.
Or what if you put him on the second power play and put him over there?
Yeah, those guys play like 30 seconds a pop. It takes forever for Pastrnak and those guys to get off the ice. They hardly get a crack.
So that's something you'd notice that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
And by the way, just on that first thing too, Don Sweeney should never live down the 2015 draft. Imagine getting that kind of pass at your regular job. Like, we know you blew that big deal, but we only hired you 3 weeks ago. No harm, no foul.
I'm with Murray.
Come on.
Too bad. Tough break. You know, when you come in, when the whole thing about you coming in with those three picks in hand, like the whole thing was to rebuild the system. That's where you started. I'm sorry. That's on you.
Yep. And it will be forever, unless or until he wins a Stanley Cup. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Has anybody entertained Jeff Saturday? Max Kellerman, what you could potentially get for Aaron Rodgers? Has anybody thought about that for a second? I mean, could you imagine the fall that you could get for Aaron Rodgers? Do you know how many teams would be knocking on your door? We've talked about the young stud that is Deshaun Watson when he wanted to leave the Houston Texans, what they would give up for him. We've debated that about, to a lesser degree, the Sam Darnolds of the world and others. No one has taken the time to sit back and say, what if the Green Bay Packers said, we're taking phone calls on Aaron Rodgers. Well, could you imagine what they could get for him? So since you got a guy, Max, that in Jordan Love, that you believe in and is the successor, and you think you got the other pieces around you, and it's all about the organization, not about this guy that's been carrying the franchise, I double dare the Green Bay Packers to sit up there and say, we'll take calls.
They're not going to do that Rodgers. Now.
You're damn right they're not going to do it.
I'd take calls. Why wouldn't you take calls? Stephen A. Smith, obviously, he's one of these guys that treats Aaron Rodgers as some sort of untouchable. Or some sort of, like, why do people just ignore the fact that he had a chance to go to the Super Bowl and didn't come through again?
They don't blame him.
Like, why?
I don't know.
And at home for the first time in that conference championship game?
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at it and say, the one thing you hear over and over about Rodgers from people nationally is the weapons. You hear it over and over and over again.
But what did that have to do with the second half of the NFC title game?
Doesn't.
When he had the ball three times with a chance to go ahead or at least tie and failed to score a touchdown all three times. He had a first and goal at the eight and didn't gain a yard. What does that have to do with weapons at that point?
You got me.
He threw an interception at the end of the second quarter. He missed an easy wide-open touchdown to Devontae Adams and then Lazar on the next play in the second quarter. What does that have to do with weapons? Well, how come no one, like, I hate that hero worship. And, you know, if a quarterback struggles, it's because of what's around him. Like, I just hate that, the catering to that guy and the excuse-making for the guy. Aaron Rodgers had the ball three times in the second half at home in the NFC Championship game with a chance to go ahead or tie and failed all three times to score a touchdown. All three, the last of which first and goal at the eight and didn't gain a yard, even though on two of those three plays he had wide open running lanes, didn't take them. No one mentions it. Instead, it's on the Packers because they didn't draft a receiver in the first round or they got to be stupid to take calls. Like, what is this sacred cowism, you know, hero where it bothers me?
Yeah, like, it should. You're preaching to the choir when it comes to that.
Did you watch the game? Like, how many times has Brady been in that spot that Aaron Rodgers was in that game? How many? And he hasn't come through in all of them, but he came through in a lot of them. Came through in a lot of them. Probably most of them. Certainly to win Super Bowls against Seattle, against Atlanta, and on and on. Never mind NFC or AFC championship games or other playoff games. Brady's been in that spot a million times where his defense let him down or whatever, and it was just him and the ball and the last drive, and you had to score to win or go ahead or tie and force overtime, and he came through many, 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 many times. Rodgers almost never has. Is anyone going to mention that? Like, that just bothers me. The play was there. The game was there for Aaron Rodgers to win, and he didn't win it. Again, he didn't take it. Again. So he's a really good player, and he definitely can get you right there knocking at the door. He just has had trouble punching through, and it's his fault, not the team's. Or that's on him and not the team. Because when you are one of those quarterbacks, that's on you to deliver in that situation, and he hasn't. Why don't people mention it? Like, that, it really bugs the crap out of me. They used to do it for Favre, too, like this hero worship.
You're so ready to move on from that guy or see that team move on from that guy, huh?
I mean, like, I think if I'm the Packers, I keep him one more year, and this is how they've done it. They haven't restructured his contract, so they're not pushing money into future years. He'll be easier to trade next offseason when Jordan Love is ready. Bye-bye. Okay? You're not bigger than the team, and I know I used to say this about Brady. That was a mistake. I don't think I'm making a mistake with Rodgers. He's 1-for-6 in conference title games, has he been to 5 or 6? Whatever. He's been there a lot. And he's come through exactly once. And it's just not enough for me to, like, I don't know, put my entire franchise on pause for you when all you really want to do is host a game show anyway. And you don't come through? So, no, I think the Packers are playing it right. Good for them. Don't restructure his contract. Don't make him harder to trade next year. You planned it out. You spent the draft pick on the next guy. So you give the guy one more year to get ready. Nice, slow build because I guess Jordan Love needs it. And maybe he's the wrong guy. I still think they're playing it right. And the next offseason, bye-bye. And see what you can get. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is a play here. I just, age, money, the maintenance quality of the guy, and he wants to be a game show host. Like, how does that fit for Bill Belichick? I just keep asking that.
I mean, if you were going to do that, you might as well have kept Brady, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
Start going for an old guy. So, like, I wish the Patriots had done it. Like, you know, if the Packers are in fact greasing the skids, at least they had the next guy lined up or someone they deemed to be the next guy lined up. So I'll give them that. I wish the Patriots had done it that way.
So, but Tom Curran, Burt Breer, they both think Aaron Rodgers could be a possibility here in New England.
No shot.
I just
no way.
I just don't see it. I would love it. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to see them, you know, be bold at that position. Even though I'm not a Justin Fields guy, I'd love to see them draft him or trade up for him. That'd be a good story. Build targets a quarterback and invest in a quarterback. I'd be behind it. I just don't think he's there yet. I don't think Bill's ready to do that yet. Never mind the money it would take for Aaron Rodgers, and it's still going to take draft picks. And, oh, does he really love football? Does he really love football? But Kern, you know, writes it today. Could patient Patriots wind up with Aaron Rodgers? And Burt Breer has seconded this. Let's see. Kern writes, if Rodgers has another MVP quality year, he could make his push for a new team in early 2022. If that allows the Packers to sell the remainder of Rodgers' contract for a significant haul of high draft picks before the inevitable slide arrives and then shift to Jordan Love, that would be exactly what Murphy is hoping to achieve. Again, team president Mark Murphy. Situations like this one are why the Patriots should just keep surveying the landscape. Green Bay has a high pick sitting behind Rodgers. They want to go year to year with him. Rodgers is irritated by both the kid drafted to apprentice for him and the Packers' foot dragging. He's old. He's expensive. He can be a lot of work, but he's still very, very good, even though he isn't surrounded by top flight offensive personnel, which, again, I don't agree with either. They've got an excellent offensive line and an excellent scheme, and Devontae Adams is a badass. So he's got plenty. And I'm not yelling at Kern. I'm just yelling at this narrative that he hasn't been surrounded by enough talent. Like, stop with that. Anyway, if it is and the Packers decide to move Rodgers, would Belichick be interested? Would it be an admission that the team stubbed its toe with Brady? Or has the team improved sufficiently in key offensive areas so that it makes sense to spend on a player like Rodgers? Brady is the greatest jockey of all time, but he wasn't winning any races with that nag of an offense the Patriots had in 2019 or 2020, and he knew it. What happened with Brady will happen with Rodgers, just like it happened with Rodgers' predecessor Brett Favre in Green Bay and Brady's predecessor Drew Bledsoe in New England. It's not going to happen this year, but if you're the Patriots, you want to keep your options open as long as you can until the answer is revealed. And the answer isn't trading up in this draft. So, again, on Rodgers, he said he's old, he's expensive, he can be a lot of work. Well, that sounds like a Bill Belichick kind of guy to you, doesn't it?
No, very appealing.
Since when does that appeal to Bill Belichick?
Yeah, I think this one's a fantasy. I mean, it is. It's a total fantasy. And again, I look at them all and say, well, wait a minute. A week ago, it was Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be free in the spring of 2022. You'll be able to get him for nothing. So you're supposed to write off 2021 because Garoppolo is going to be free in 2022, unless you want to pay a boatload for Aaron Rodgers, in which case everyone's in. Like, the bottom line is they're flying by the seat of their pants.
Curran is all in on the Patriots approach. He says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Patriots need to let the game come to them. Do I think there's a quarterback tree out in the NFL backyard and that good players will just fall from it? Yes. Yes, I do. I just like respectfully disagree with my man, Tom Curran.
Who? Where?
Like, you're just going to wait for the franchise quarterback tree to drop a nugget in your lap for a good price, at good value, just because they drop out of the tree like that? Oh my God, that scares the crap out of me, but that's how I think they feel.
That's how the Patriots feel. That is the scary part of it. Again, because that's how they've approached it. That's how they've treated it. They waited for Cam Newton to shake out of the free agent market because he was the cheapest guy there. Then he went 7-9. They've made a truckload of excuses for him from COVID and coming in late, which, again, they were a party to, by the way. But nonetheless, they did all that. And then all of a sudden, a year later, it's, nope, we're not going to pay for Garoppolo either. And they're doing the same thing all over again. So they clearly believe the guy's just going to fall out of the sky and land in their backyard like it's the freaking space station.
It's just... Well, there's another franchise quarterback just drops in our lap, just like Brady. Like, call me crazy. I don't love the approach. Why don't you find a guy that you actually like? Go get him, pay what it costs to get him, invest in him, and then let's do that thing, as opposed to just waiting for whatever to drop into your lap.
I mean, it is amazing. They look at other positions and they say, well, we like this guy, we like that guy. They've traded up for guys, even if it's in the third round, with quarterback. It is. It's comical. It is downright comical that they are so passive about quarterbacks.
Let's pick this up on the other side with your calls. No commercials. Just a quick update from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.